Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now for a three charts in 3 minutes-ish. We don't really make that, but it's alliteration. Nick, you're all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, thanks.
Gotta say,
survived the crypto sell-off.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Yeah, my sort of first foray in the world of cryptocurrencies hasn't been too good. I've got to say, I mean, they did have a bit of a sell-off. I bought that a bit of sell-off. They rallied, but a bit of a sell-off. I thought, oh, that they'll bounce now. But they've had another sell-off, and just after I bought a couple of things. So So what do you think now? I mean, Ethereum had a huge sell-off because one of the things that happened was, they announced that the creator, who's only 23, of Ethereum, is dead over the weekend, and that took a bit of a hit, apparently.
What?
Yeah. They said he hadn't died. He hadn't died. Someone made it up, and so that was one
That's
of the
terrible.
One of the things that compounded the issue, apparently. What's his name? I don't know what I've got to. Is his name? Oh, but it's done 20%. Yeah. But he actually used Ethereum and used blockchain. Sort of address, and he did a selfie of him holding up the piece of paper, block 3,930,000, and another address equals this, another address below, proving there was a recent block, and so he wasn't dead. So
proving he wasn't dead.
Yeah.
How
so
bad
that was on the weekend. Yeah, but I mean, Ethereum is up about 4,000% this year, so it's going to have a bit of a pullback, isn't it? You know.
It is, and I think that a lot of people, the problem is that the people that have bought lately or recently and didn't step aside when it came back on them, and you really got to do that, they got in this buy and hold mindset, and unless you're a really early investor or you have a really robust strategy or you're not doing it on margin, you cannot do this on margin, then you can't don't ride out the pullbacks. Wait, because it's great buying opportunities. And if you stay in an offside position when it's doing that, it messes with your head, so that when it is ready to go higher again, the last thing you want to do is go near it. Well, that's dumb. You're going to miss out. So I always get out and then rebuy, because it's good mental.
I losses don't bother me too much. I mean, if I don't put too much in first.
I mean,
you're
one of the most mentally resilient sort of buy and hold people I know.
Yeah, but you've got to know.
But battle scars from being an AIM trader.
Also, it's about risk and reward. It's about not risking too much, because if you put your shirt on it, you're going to be fretting every second of the day.
Nothing will ruin a good trade more than. Yeah. Doing it too big.
Yeah, exactly. So what you have to do is scale in, and I'm looking to buy some more. When we see a sort of significant bottom here, I'll probably look to buy some more. All right, let's look at some charts then of stocks on AIM. So first and foremost, StratAero, which is Aero is ticker, in their final results out last year. Now, I bought these a while back, and I was talking about these, saying, listen, the new CEO, the restructure, they had legal problems, they had the worst year ever last year, and now they got a new CEO in. He's mentioned in 4 updates since the start of the year, break even, end of this year. They've got cash.
Ooh.
And they've got cash, because that's one of the things about AIM stocks. You don't have cash, you're in a bit of a tight situation. They had cash, they're only 1.5 million market cap. That's tiny, and they had like a million of cash, which is ridiculous. So yesterday they did the final results, and they said, revenue's up, that they made a loss of 3.5 last year, but that's 6 months ago. That was the year ended 6 months ago. So they moved on from that now. So it bounced yesterday, went up to sort of 100% at one point yesterday, but it came back to end up about 40% up. But today is a lot of volume, but a couple of sellers. What do you reckon, though, Nick?
What price have you got right now? Because I don't trust these trading view prices.
No,
closing.
0.1 is the price at the moment.
Okay, 0.1 is a really interesting level, because 0.1 is the January low, and it's a bit of a pivot level. You can see we sat on it in February, it was the highs in March, and then it was the highs in April. So it's really good that we're back at 0.1. I think if we've cleared the 20, 50 and 50 moving average, we're back at 0.1. I think if we can close above point one, that we're going to continue higher to point two, because point two is the next resistance level, and it's the December lows and the February highs. It's a bit of a pivot level. And I think by the time we get there, the 200 moving average will catch up. But if you zoom out a bit, we're going to see that the first Fibonacci target for this move higher in Aero is actually 0.36, and 0.36 is a big deal level. That's the August 2016 lows and a really important pivot level. So that would be my first target for Aero on a move higher. What? And then I think ultimately we should end up at 0.679.
Wow, all right.
Ta-da! I know a few stairs to climb and a few resistance levels on the way, but that's where we should go.
Yeah, but do you know what? It fits with their policy. They are restructuring and they're cutting costs, and there's a new guy in there. He's got a good background and he's sorting the business out, so it looks good. Okay.
I just want to say for people who are looking at my charts today that they might look a bit different. And the reason is that there's no I've got the price feed from is really dodgy. So I'm using a thing called Heikin-Ashi candles. So when you look at your chart, you'll see, you know, if you look at it with regular candles, you'll see that we've just got a flat little closing price. So it's a dot on the chart and it's really hard to see. Mm. If people switch to Heikin-Ashi candles, which you can do, then it gives you a really good visual impression of where we are.
Oh, it's in Japan. Heikin-Ashi. Next one is Angus Energy. So ANGS, yesterday they announced a Brockham Field update, but the Surrey Council has now confirmed the planning application to regularise the upgraded surface infrastructure will not require an environmental impact assessment. So good news there, and lots of likes on Vox. What do you reckon, ANGS, Nick?
I think ANGS looks really good. You know, ta-da, back at those highs from April. I think that we're really good to continue higher. In fact, I like this one to continue higher to new highs. And obviously our next trouble resistance is going to be sort of the January highs. That's at 15. That's our first target. And then I think that we see 1680 next. So looking really good for me.
Marvellous. Okay, and the next one is Satellite Solutions Worldwide. SAT is the ticker there. They've had a trading update. I wonder if it's moved at all today. So we've got... they haven't moved, actually. 7.25 pence the level here, but...
I got them a little bit offered yesterday. They had a little bit of a setback day. Mm-hmm. Satellite Solutions. Mm-hmm. What price have you got? I've got 7.25.
Yeah, that's what I got. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Good stuff, yeah. Okay, so, you know, we've had a really nice bottom rally off the 6.2 level. That's a really good pivot level on my chart, you know, right back from the start of 2016. I think there's potential for a really good bounce, but it's gone in a straight line. What we're looking for it to see now is to come back and retest that low, make a higher low, maybe a double bottom. You know, a V-shaped one-touch bottoms are very rare. And so although we look like we're going to turn lower, that's what I'm looking for it to hold that support on a retest. So if you didn't buy it the first time, I think potentially, you know, that you might get another opportunity. All the big daily moving averages there are bearish, so be careful. Don't buy it until you see the retest hold and turn higher again, because otherwise we risk continuing lower. If we see new lows, we're going to go down to 5.15 and the kind of stock opening price, which wouldn't be good.
Okay, marvellous. Nick, if you send me the charts there, I'll put them on the blog, and also if you can put them on the company pages, and the blog, by the way, is voxmarkets.co.uk/blog.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.